Now more than ever. Lowe's knows you don't just want a low price. You want the lowest price. And with our lowest price guarantee, you can count on us for competitive prices on all your home improvement projects. If you find a qualifying lower price somewhere else on the same item, we'll match it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Price match applies to same item, current price at qualifying retailers. Exclusions and terms apply. Learn how we'll match price at lowes.com/lowest price guarantee.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
Welcome to Weird Wednesday, Thursday, something like that. It's something like that. Holy cow. Friends, welcome to another live edition of Weird Something or Other. I wish I could have gone live with you yesterday, but unfortunately the schedule did not permit. So I wanted to go live with you today. So here we are going live, and hopefully things hold up because it has been a little shaky of a start. If you were tuning in for the pre-show, there was not much of a pre-show because I got distracted because my camera went off. So hopefully the camera stays up today, because if it doesn't, I think I might have a backup plan, but I'm not sure. Welcome to Weird Thursday edition, friends. Hopefully you're having a good time today and everything's going great on your end. Let me just tell you, we were planning on doing a live yesterday, and what got in the way was a stinking in-studio guest. Can't get around him, you know? No, it was a great time though. Yesterday I had Adam Davies in studio. And what was interesting about that was, I want to say his last name is Davis. And I've heard people say Adam Davies. So I said Adam Davies. And during the interview, I'm pretty sure I heard him say Davis. So I don't know what his last name is. But he was in studio yesterday and we did almost 3 hours of a conversation with him, and it was a heater. What can I say? It was an absolute rocker of an episode. Usually when I do a recording in studio, my brother is, you know, a little bit of a gauge, I'd say, where, you know, maybe he'll tell me, you know, how he thought of it afterwards. And, you know, usually it's, you know, yeah, it was a good show. Yeah, good show, Tone. Yesterday, he was like, that was a freaking bonkers episode, dude. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. So you guys can definitely look forward to that. And I'm doing some logistical things here. All right. I think we're good. Okay. So anyways, you guys can look forward to that. I think we're going to drop that on December 3rd is when we're going to drop that for everybody to listen to. So you can look forward to that. Adam lives locally and he finally came in studio. We were planning on it for quite some time and we finally got it done. So good times, but that's why I couldn't make it yesterday because, you know, working with limited time, I get into the office around 8:15. And by the time he got in here, it was about 10 o'clock. He left around 1:15. And I had to leave at 2:15 to pick my son up from school. So that was my work day. And it was a good work day, though. So I have a couple things I want to talk to you about here today before we get into some weird news. I'm going to be gone next week. I'll be out of studio, so I will not be doing a weird Wednesday or a weird Thursday, Friday, Monday, or Tuesday show. This is going to be a week where I will not be showing up because I will be out of town hunting really bizarre, weird things that, you know, the things that I do, I can't really expound on it past. Actually, I can. So let me just tell you. I am going, if you guys remember, I don't remember what episode it was, but it was an awesome episode. I called it the Meadow Project, and that's because that's what it's called literally in real life. Trey Hudson came on the show and talked about this this piece of land that he and his team discovered and has a lot of weird, bizarre, anomalous things happening on it. And it was a freaking awesome show. I asked him if I could come and he said, yeah. And so that's where I'm going. I'm going to spend a week in the meadow next week. And there's a lot of weird things that have happened in that location that they've uncovered. I had to sign an NDA to get access to the location and the information, all the information. And once I signed that NDA, he gave us a debriefing. And that debriefing went, well, my jaw was hurting because it was smacking the table so hard. On the episode that he was on with me, he talked about how he and his team had a situation where they were looking through, I guess he had a two-man team that was on some kind of ridge overlooking the meadow with thermals, and they noticed an anomaly on the thermal. There was this like weird cube thing in the meadow, and so they directed another team in that direction. That other team could not see what they were seeing on the thermal. It was only with the thermal they could see it. So they were directing them because they were going into the meadow blind. And as they approached the cube, one by one, they entered into the cube. And as they entered into the cube, his claim on the show was that they disappeared. And I've seen the video. And they indeed disappeared. And then they reappeared when they left the cube. So, yeah, we're going to go do that next week. So I will not, sorry, but I am not showing up for Weird Wednesday next week. I got, dare I say, more important things to do, okay? Dare I say. So will I find myself a cube portal? Probably not. I think the odds are probably against it, but there's a lot of other weird things that happen in that area, and we're going to go and document as much as we can. Very firm believers that where can you see this video at? It's not public, Isaiah. Isaiah says, where can you see this video? It is not public. I had to sign an NDA to get access to even watching it. And, he didn't give me a copy. I had to sit there and watch it with him. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun and we're going to be going and doing some bonker stuff next week. So hopefully, I come back alive and with tales to tell, but our whole mode of operation is basically to put ourselves in an environment that has known activity and let it unfold around us to see what shakes out. So we're not really the types that are going to go in there trying to, you know, we're not going to whip out the Ouija boards and, you know, try talking to the dead and things like that. That's not really how we like to do things. So we kind of go with the idea that people have claims of paranormal or supernatural, cryptozoological experiences. And most of the time it's because those people weren't asking for the experience. It just happened to them in that area. And when you have areas that are repeatedly having those kind of experiences, it might be a good area to go visit. And so that's what we're doing. We're going to go and visit those areas and see what shakes out. And when we spend extended period of times in these areas with the intention of being observant and aware of what's going on around us, because we know it has such activity, we tend to have activity happen around us to document. So that is the goal. That is the goal. Is Black Mass Paranormal going? No, he is not. No, he is not. So I wanted to show you, I'm just going to tell you about it. And if you want, you can go check it out on your own. I made a post on the Confessionals X account. You can follow us at, I think it's at T Confessionals, because the Confessionals was taken 8 years ago when I started the show. So, at T Confessionals, follow us on X. And, I made a post there of a BBC archive, and I wanted to play it today, but Jack advised me not to because of rules and regulations, I guess. I guess it could be an offending video to play for YouTube as far as copyright goes, but and also because it had people's heads on sticks. So apparently that's not a good thing to do on some of these platforms. But I did share it because it was a YouTube video, so I figured it's not that big of a deal. So I just shared it on X just to be safe, though. But you can go follow us on X and watch the video, because it is talking about these. I think it's called the Hexham Heads in England back in 1976, if I remember correctly. They were doing the BBC was doing some kind of documentary on it, just, you know, like a segment, and they had this doctor lady kind of give her take on what these things were. But what was interesting is, I guess the claim was that when people are dabbling at looking at these things, weird things would happen around them. And they prefaced it with, you know, surely this doctor would not have, you know, she's level-headed and she wouldn't have weird things happening to her. And sure enough, the whole part of the segment that she's on is pretty much her talking about how a werewolf appeared. I think it was in her house, and she saw it two times. And this is back in 1976, and it was broadcast on the BBC. And she talked about seeing a half man, human, half canine creature in her home. And so I figured I was gonna play it today and talk to you guys about it, but Jack said that I'd get the channel taken down or something like that. So follow us on X and you can watch it for your own self. We're making some headway here on getting William in studio. So if you guys have not listened or watched back to a few weeks ago, I did a show talking about the damage from Hurricane Helene in East Tennessee and West North Carolina. William, at last I checked, he raised over $50,000, to help support these people in these areas. So that money was going to efforts to renting equipment and rebuilding roads and purchasing supplies for people to, survive the winter, because there's a lot of people that are without heat, they're without water, they're without electricity, and they're not planning on leaving. And the projection is anywhere from 4 to 6 months to a year before they get power and water and things like that. And so William, his efforts were to go out there and help these people wherever he could. And he raised a lot of money to do that. And he did that for several weeks. And he had to go back home because he had gotten radiation poisoning. And he's not the only one. There were a lot of people suffering from poisoning. I'll just say it that way, because I'm not sure the exact scope of the nature, but he has all the details. But I will say this, he is on the mend. And from what I understand, he will be here with me in studio tomorrow if he still is up for the travel. He had to go back home and let his body detox from the exposure. And I think we know where the radiation's coming from. And I think it's going to be a huge cover up. I don't think it's going to be something that is going to be covered on the news. And we're going to talk about it and we'll see what happens from there. Because I think it needs to be talked about. But yeah, let's just put it this way. It seems like for decades, there has been chicanery going on in this area. And it's been going undetected because of the remoteness of where we live. But the hurricane and the damage from the hurricane exposed some things that that William physically suffered from, and so have other people. So we're gonna talk about it when he gets here. And last I heard, he was planning on being here. So we're gonna record with him tomorrow if he shows up. And that will be broadcast, I'd say, relatively quickly, not next week because of the turnaround that we'd need to do on that because we're leaving town, but maybe the week or two after we'll release that update for everybody because I think it's important for people to hear and know and understand what the heck is going on in North Carolina and in East Tennessee. East Tennessee is not as bad as North Carolina, though. I'll tell you that much. It definitely did not get hit as hard, and the people are not as suffering as much because a lot of it is due to the fact that the government in Tennessee responded so much better than the government in North Carolina. So lots of things to talk about on that front. And I'm hoping to sit down with him and talk to him more about it moving forward. So let's talk about this zombie biobot situation here. This is a article that I first came across. Where did the website go? Where the heck did it went? Oh, come on, Tone. I tell you guys, like, I think we need to start bringing Jack in here to live produce these shows for me because I wind up losing everything. So I don't have the article right here. And I don't know, also don't know why every time I do a weird Wednesday, weird Thursday, my voice starts going out because that's exactly what's happening now. I really don't know.
On the air.
Man, I've been trying to treat my voice with gentleness and respect, and it's been slapping me in the face. I had this article pulled up here, and it's no longer here, so I don't know what happened to that, but it was off SasquatchChronicles.com. Our buddy Wes over there was posting it as a blog. Let me see if I can quickly pull it up here. I found it. Not that I really needed it I'm not going to read the whole thing, but let me read you a summary here of it. That way we can kind of jump in from there. Maybe we can all together try to understand this science talk because, you know, I don't really do the whole science thing to begin with. I'm not really I'm not geared like that with my brain. It says scientists have created lab-made organisms that exist in a third state beyond alive or dead. Let me start that over here. Scientists have created lab-made organisms that exist in a third state beyond being alive or dead. These organisms, called biobots, are made from cells of living and dead organisms and can do things far beyond what they were originally designed for, like repairing damaged cells. This discovery challenges how we understand life and cell behavior. Unlike normal organisms that follow set paths, like caterpillars turning into butterflies, these biobots can adapt and perform new tasks. Scientists believe this breakthrough could lead to achievements in medicine, like repairing damaged tissues, and in creating other innovative living robots. There's still much to learn about the mysterious third state, but it has the potential to revolutionize science and technology. What is going on back there? Because they're packaging this as a scientific achievement and advancement. And I might say, yeah, it's a scientific achievement and advancement for sure, but an advancement in what direction? Where are we going? What is going on back there? I'm very concerned about this because it sounds like the beginning of a horror movie that we just don't want any part of. I have here some scenarios of maybe sci-fi, futuristic type scenarios that I thought might be something to worth looking at when it comes to this whole biobot situation. What about immortal biological machines? Imagine biobots that can continually repair and adapt themselves effectively, avoiding death in the traditional sense. These organisms could serve as a self-sustaining machine useful in environments to hostile or human life, such as deep space or toxic atmospheres. They could act as explorers, maintenance workers, or even as ecosystems themselves, thriving indefinitely in harsh conditions. That sounds like zombies to me, right? Like, if we're talking about a third state of existence, they said it's beyond life and death. It's different. And what they're doing, and in the article that I was reading, basically, they took cells from living matter and cells from dead matter, and they combined them. And they did some, you know, alchemical, voodoo, magical science stuff. You know, what do they want to say? They say tomorrow science is today's magic. That kind of science, right? They did some kind of Harry Potter, get me the Hollywood wand, and tapped it a few times. And then all of a sudden, poof, this biobot appeared. And it has this weird state of existence that it's not alive, but it's not dead. It seems to be programmable. Am I saying that? I'm not saying that right. Programmable. And it can do things that are tasks that it was not originally told to do. So these are essentially... these biobots are, you know, their own being, that they're not alive, they're not dead, they can do tasks that they were not originally programmed to do. And right now, these articles that are talking about it are talking about how, you know, these things are, you know, these little tiny things and, you know, repairing cells. But what if they, like... you know, we just had what? I think it was in South Carolina last week or earlier this week. They reported, what was it, 43 missing monkeys that got out of a lab. Like they were going to be doing testing on these monkeys in a lab, and they've I think it was 43 escaped, and last I heard, like 25 of them they found. So they found 25 out of 43 monkeys from a scientific lab that was going to be doing experiments on the monkeys. What kind of experiments are we talking about here, right? What kind of experiments are we talking about here? And they're like, oh, don't worry. The monkeys that escaped, we didn't test anything. They didn't go through any testing. So they're pure. Pure from what? Pure from what? What were you going to do to them? And if they escaped after you tested on them, what would we be dealing with at that point, right? These are all the questions that I think a lot of people like us would be thinking and considering. So just on the other side of the mountain from me, apparently there's probably about 15 to 18 monkeys still running around. And, if they come on this side, I'm out here hunting Bigfoot and I see this little monkey running through the woods, I'm liable to think that it's an infant Bigfoot. What should I do about that? You know, tricking me. That's what they're doing. They're tricking me. But you know, they're over there experimenting on monkeys, you know, in South Carolina. What are they going to do with these biobots? You know, we've seen it over and over again. They can't stop. Like, we had 2020 happen, and, you know, I think it's safe to say now it was a lab leak, right? I mean, I think most people think that, and I think they've even admitted that now, that it was an actual lab leak. So the lab leak happens, and then we're like, the dust hadn't even settled yet. And we're getting reports and articles being put out there saying that they're that science is trying this thing and this, that, and the other, and like building on this idea of manipulating sicknesses and diseases for future scientific gain. They literally were talking about doing more of it after 2020. The dust hadn't even settled. And they're like, oh, we're going to continue doing this. And it's like, what is going on? Like, can we just pump the brakes for a second, catch our breath before we dive back into the pool? Like, we just came up. We're trying to breathe a little bit, catch our breath, and you're trying to shove us underwater again. So we know that that's what they do. And so if they have this biobot that it's not alive, it's not dead, it acts on its own, it does things for us that we, you know, can't do ourselves, and it seems to be able to do tasks that it was not programmed to do, that sounds like a biological biobot zombie to me. And are they going to stop there? Is science going to stop there? Are they going to be like, okay, we got these zombie biobots. That's good enough, guys. Pack it up, go home. Nothing else to see here. We're done experimenting on this. We're done pretending to be God. We're done. No, we know they're not going to do that. They're not going to do that. They're going to continue to advance in this alchemical science voodoo, grab the Harry Potter wand and tap it three times stuff until they make more things happen. I'm telling you, I think in the next 10, 15 years, we're going to have full-grown, I'm going to say it right now. I think we're going to have full-grown zombies running through the streets of Knoxville, and we're going to be running for our lives. Not only, it's not going to be bad enough that we have all the other crap that we're dealing with. We're going to be running away from zombies too. Let me go into this more. So, what about mind control and adaptive soldiers? Since these biobots can perform beyond original programming, sci-fi could imagine them being used as adaptive soldiers or workers directed by human thought or responding to battlefield conditions. Such organisms, air quotes, might be engineered to take commands from a central hub, heal themselves, and even adapt their functions to better suit the needs of the mission. Zombie soldiers. Zombie freaking soldiers. Like, we see these videos online of these robots, these robotics, the advancements in robotics that we have. I just saw a video yesterday or maybe even this morning. This robot dog looking thing, it didn't walk. It had, definitely could walk, but it had these wheels for feet. And they showed this thing just cruising down like a forest hill, like bumps and going over boulders. And it just kept its balance and just kept on going down. And it's just doing its thing. And I'm like, yo, there's no outrunning this thing. There's no outrunning these. These things come for you. Just stop. Just stop. So we hear about these robot dogs and the police dog robot things. Like, the advancements in robotics is on another level, right? Imagine if they paired that with the zombie biobots that they evolve into full-blown zombie biobot robotic humanoid, just a little bit looking like a human, run it out there on the field to see what happens. I mean, I feel like we're living in sci-fi times. Definitely feel like we're living in sci-fi times. What about this? In some futuristic scenarios, scientists could leverage the third state as a means to preserve consciousness beyond death. If memories or consciousness could be encoded into singular functions within these biobots, or I'm sorry, cellular, not singular. Read the word, Tony. They might allow a form of pseudo-immortality where memories or personalities could live on within organisms that exist outside of traditional life and death. That sounds like a Black Mirror episode to me. I'm pretty sure it was a Black Mirror episode where they were preserving the people's consciousness into VR, I think it was. And so, like, I think everybody got it, but the more you paid for it, the better your experience was. Once your biological body died, your consciousness lived on in this VR state. That's kind of what that sounds like to me. Also, this idea, third state as a means to preserve consciousness before or beyond death. So if we remember back to episode, I don't remember the name of or the number of it, but I just had her on again, Fringe. We just had Fringe on. I think it was episode 700. We had Fringe on. And the first episode she was on, we called it Soul Trappers, I think. And part of that conversation was her discussing what her experience was with these beings or these entities. We don't know how to classify them. By the way, we are going to have Darcy Weir on the show in a couple of weeks. I'm recording with him in a couple of weeks. He was at the UAP hearings yesterday, and he's going to give us a report from Darcy Weir, talking about what he heard and his thoughts on it, because he flew in from good old Canada to be at the hearings. And we've had Darcy on the show before. We love Darcy. And so look forward to that. But back on to this. What was I saying? Oh, Fringe, yes. So she talks about these beings, whatever they are, her experiences and seeing them having some kind of technology that is able to suck, supposedly, the soul out of these people, and they're putting them in like these other containers. That's the best way I can say it, okay? I don't know how else to say it. It kind of sounds like this to me. Let me read this again to you. In some futuristic scenarios, scientists could leverage the third state beyond life and death. This is a third state of existence as a means to preserve consciousness beyond death. Like, what? I have it up here. I just read this, I didn't. So the way that I came across this, I had a guy in studio, I think it was this past Saturday. He's going to broadcast in a few weeks. His name's Seth. And he and I were talking about ancient and historical dogmen. So I had a members episode with him. I think it was episode 652, Ancient Dogman is what I called it, or something like that. And it was so good. He told me that we only covered like 10% of his information. And so I said, dude, come on down to the studio. He came to the studio. We did, I think it was like 2.5 hours or something like that. And he's like, I covered 75% of what I wanted to talk about today. And there's so much more. So like, great guy. It's going to be an awesome episode. And this scripture verse came up on the episode. And I was just like, whoa, interesting. Let's just put it that way. Interesting. Ezekiel chapter 13, verse 18. And it says, Thus says the Lord, woe to the women who sew magic bands upon all wrists and make veils for the heads of persons of every stature in the hunt for souls. Will you hunt down souls belonging to my people and keep your own souls alive? What the heck does that mean? But that sounds like somebody making magical technology, alchemical things to hunt for souls. Huh? And I understand that, like, there's definitely metaphysical things, right? But metaphorical analogies in the Bible, and I'm almost 100% sure that is the explanation here. It is metaphorical on the idea that it's not that they're hunting down human souls, but they're leading people away from God, and their souls are part of them and they're being led away from God. But what if it's literal? Like, what if it's literal? Like, we're talking about people making magic bands on their wrists and veils for their heads in the hunt for souls. What? That's crazy. Let me look at this chat and see if you guys are saying anything about that. I got one person says, it's crazy. I like it, Joshua Gallagher. It's crazy to me too. It's crazy to me too. It's crazy to me too. So like the biobots, and let me pull this back up here. Where is that at? This idea of third state as a means to preserve consciousness beyond death. What if like this technology is sucking out human consciousness and putting it into a third state of existence? I mean, I'm just spitballing here as somebody who doesn't work in a science lab, but it's interesting. What about these UFOs? So I mentioned about the UAP hearings that just were held yesterday. What time we got here? Okay, we're good still. So these UAP hearings, and you know, I didn't get a chance to watch the UAP hearings, but I've been seeing clips go around, and maybe we'll go into some of these here in a minute. But we know that as far as I can tell, let me just pull this up here real quick. There we go. As far as I can tell, these UFOs, a very growing common understanding of these things from these whistleblowers and, you know, Lou Elizondo and Jeremy Corbell, is that there's something beyond traditional understanding of what UFOs are thought to be are. And this idea that technology is being built and created in another universe or realm of existence, another plane of existence that parallels ours, that, you know, these things have a way to open that door and peek on through. You know, Corbell talks about that and these things sending drones into our realm. And that's what some of these things are that we're seeing, is that they're actually drones. I don't know if it's true. It's just my understanding of what has been said at this point. And what if this biobot aspect of stuff has to do with reverse engineering of these crafts? Like, I know, I'm almost certain yesterday they talked about that in some way or form. It seems like it comes up all the time. Having possession of these crafts and the reverse engineering nature that we're involved in with these things. What if this biobot stuff is like alien technology, and it is something that we reverse engineered? We're dabbling with things we don't understand, and it could go south. What if the reverse engineered technology that we have from this other realm of existence is, you know, some people say that, you know, aliens are fallen angels. I don't necessarily subscribe to that. But what if it is fallen angel-esque in the realm of, and what you're dealing with is what they're reverse engineering is fallen angel technology from, you know, the Book of Enoch. Maybe, I don't know. These biobots might serve as a self-replicating units, as self-replicating units that can repair and reproduce indefinitely, potentially serving as a basis for an interstellar probe. So, like, imagine these biobots being used either on crafts that we are reverse engineering to self-heal the craft and keep a craft going forward through space and time, or through one realm to the other. It could be something as simple as that. But what if, like, these biobots themselves become the craft? Like, what if they, like, if you're going down the woo-woo sci-fi realm of these biobots doing self-replicating and self-repair on, you know, crafts themselves, why can't they just build themselves to be the craft? Now you got yourself zombie biobot spacecraft. What? Like, I just feel like there's an endless potential here of a lot of things to go sideways when it comes to reverse engineering alien technology, if that's what this is. But that's what my gut says it is. They could be sent to distant planets, and due to their adaptive nature, they'd continuously evolve to suit new environments, sending data back or establishing outposts for future human exploration. Interesting. Medical regeneration. These biobots could open the door to medical applications, like repairing damaged human tissue or regenerating organs in real time. Some scenarios might explore patches made of biobots applied to injuries or degenerative tissues that repair damage or on the cellular level. I cannot keep going today. My brain is turning off. Potentially curing diseases that were previously untreatable. I think that might be the last time I try to read on this show today, because my eyes cannot keep up. Anywho, so these biobots could open the door to medical applications like repairing damaged human tissue or regenerating organs in real time. I think that sounds kind of cool. Outside the fact that you let a biobot get into the system to regenerate an organ, and all of a sudden you're mutating into a biobot zombie walking down the road. Maybe that's how we get the biobot zombies walking down the road, right? Right now they're in a lab in a petri dish and they're doing funny things underneath a microscope, but all of a sudden they're like, huh, we could do this in real time. We could put this in a little fancy pill, have Tony swallow it, and all of a sudden his intestines that are having issues and he can't stay off the toilet, we're going to fix that for him and we're going to turn him into a walking zombie. You know, like maybe. In other news, I had this pulled up. I wasn't even planning on talking about this, but let me just bring this up. Have you guys heard about the witches? Have you guys heard about the witches that are upset that their spells are not working on Donald Trump? I have this Reddit post here. It says some other witches have been mentioning that doing spells directly against Trump are not as effective as we might hope, as he seems to have some kind of protection around him. A freezer spell against Project 2025 would likely be useful, but I wouldn't give the Cheeto any more attention. Oh, that's funny. That has a double meaning, actually. Any more attention right now. He hates to be ignored, right? That's interesting. So, yeah. The witches are mad that their spells aren't working. Witches be witches. And they're mad that their spells aren't working against Donald Trump. Some people might say that Donald Trump might have a supernatural protection around him. What I find it funny here is that they say, but I wouldn't give the Cheeto any more attention right now. He hates to be ignored. So they're basically saying the best thing we can do right now is to get at him is to ignore him. So leave him alone. That's interesting, especially after you're just saying that you want to cast spells on him. Now you're just saying the best thing we can do is leave him alone. Interesting. Interesting. I had don't do that. You got to mute these things, man. Got to mute these things. Anyways, listen, what I'm going to do real quick is I was going to do some UAP hearing videos and stuff, but we're not going to do that today. We're actually going to save that for when Darcy comes on the show. So what I have for you for the remainder of this weird Thursday episode is a recording that I did with a lady at home at my house. I did this recording. I think it was back in the beginning of October. I think it was. And it was an interesting conversation I had with her. The problem was it's not a full episode. It was only like a 20-minute conversation. And I was like, well, I'll play it for the people on a weird Wednesday, Thursday episode. I think you guys would appreciate it. It's a little off topic from what we were talking about today, but maybe not. Maybe not. Because is it possible? So you guys know about the rake, right? You guys know about the rake. We've talked about it on the show. We call them the crawlers at times. The way they're described is very, very alien-esque, right? I mean, I don't know if we actually have pictures of it. Probably, I think we do. But let's just err on the side of caution and say we don't know if we have pictures of the crawlers. If somebody just described them to you, you would say, that sounds like an alien to me. That sounds like an alien to me. What if the crawlers are... What if aliens are our future selves time traveling back in time and they look like the crawlers to warn us not to take the biobots because that's what you'll turn into. There we go. I just tied it to this live. So anyways, I have this lady Carol coming up here, and she had a crawler encounter that I wanted to share with you. So let's get to Carol right now.
All right, today we have Carol on the show from my home studio, my wife's office. How are you, Carol?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for meeting with me and to share your story. Anytime I have a chance to talk to somebody about an experience with the rake, or some people call them crawlers, I'm all ears. And so what I'd like for you to do is to share with me and the audience how this all unfolded for you. How long ago was this? What were you doing? And maybe even how old you were.
Okay. The year this happened was 2011. During this time, I was in my junior year of high school. It was around fall time. So, you know, it's getting dark early. I grew up in Central California in a really small town called Planada. So you have kind of like an idea. It's about an hour away from Fresno. It's next to Merced, California. We're really close to Yosemite National Park. It's about like a 2-hour drive from Yosemite. Specifically, the town where I live at, it doesn't even have a high school. That's how small it is. So we actually have to drive to the next town over that has a high school. The drive from one town to another, if you can imagine, it's just like one small street filled with orchards. So at night, it's just pitch darkness. And, you know, during the daytime, from afar, you can start seeing the mountains that lead up to Yosemite. So it's basically in a valley. On this specific night that I saw this creature that I now know is called a rake, we were picking up our friend from football practice. So it was me and two other friends. We were in the parking lot of the high school. The parking lot is the way that we were facing east, and right in front of us, it was like the front lawn of the high school. And right after that, there's like an alley that goes kind of heading towards the back of the school area. So around the time that we were there, it might have been, I want to say maybe 8:30, 9 p.m. at night. We were just, you know, chatting in the car. And then we suddenly heard like something landed on the car. Maybe we thought it was like a cat maybe that jumped on the car. And we even saw leaves fall off from the car because, you know, it's like fall time. And we really thought nothing of it. But then about, I want to say maybe a minute afterwards, as we're just looking forward into the alleyway, we see like this being that to us, we couldn't even comprehend what it was because it looked like a human, but it was long, maybe like 8 feet long. It looked very bony. So it didn't seem like it really ate, maybe like it's been starving. It ran like a dog and its arms were swinging behind its legs when it was running. And as it was running straight down the alleyway, it was looking straight at us. And its eyes were, it really felt like it had no soul. They were like sucked in and it was just darkness in its eyes. So right after we saw that, we all just looked at each other and we just finished each other's sentence. Like, did you see that? Like, it was like a dog, but like a human. And we really couldn't figure out what it was. And it was just like silent. It's like our friend got in the car, we drove home, and then it was not talked about afterwards. I think we just froze at that moment. And then when I would try bringing it up to people, they'd be like, oh, maybe it was like someone on drugs. And I was like, no, like that wasn't, I know what a person on drugs looks like and I get what they're saying, but I'm like, there's no human that's naked, glowy white like that. Like it didn't even seem like it had any color in it. It just looked pale white, running at that speed like an animal. And its fingers were very long too, so they almost seemed claw-like. So when we saw that, it really freaked us out. And you know, my friends, they don't like talking about it. I'm the only one that recently, and I don't watch scary movies either, when I started seeing like those creatures come up like on the internet, and when I saw like I Googled what kind of like what I saw, and then I saw the name of it, and I was like, that's exactly what I saw. It looked no different from the Google images that I saw like on the first page of Google.
That's wild. Yeah, I was going to ask you about the fingers because I've heard other people describe the fingers being very, very long and almost like claws. And so that's what you saw. And the images that I see online, a lot of times it's like a black and white image, like thermal almost, like a night vision image. And the eyes are glowing. And you said the eyes were completely black, right?
So like, it seemed like there, you could just see like the pit of the eyes, kind of like when someone draws like a skull, but it did have like a glow of white in the center, but it's not like it had pupils. So they did look like they were caved in black, but you would see like a small, like glowing white. But other than that, like nothing resembled like a human. I kind of remember if it had like its mouth open while it was looking at us. And it kind of seemed like it had fangs in a way, like all of its teeth were pointy, but it was so fast. And what kind of still freaks me out is thinking, what if that was the thing that jumped on our car and we didn't realize it and we just never bothered to look. And it was probably just like sitting outside the car staring at us. And I was like, and why? That's the part that I don't get, why it happened. But what is kind of trippy to me is the fact that town, it's primarily like Latinos, older Hispanic community. And there are a lot of other stories in that town, specifically in those areas of the orchards where people have said that they've seen like elves, or, you know, in Spanish, they call them duendes. So they would always tell us as kids, like, don't come home late at night because the duendes you're going to see the duendes on the four-way stop specifically. But a being like this, I had never heard of. Like, since then, I still haven't heard of anyone mention that creature. And I've even tried going on Reddit, seeing like, does something come up? But then I think my interest kind of sparked too when I started hearing a little bit more about like a relationship with these creatures and the national parks, because we are so close to the national park. And it hasn't been something where it's very common for people to say that they've seen like UFOs around the area. But they just leave it at that.
Yeah. Well, I tend to feel like, just the way you tell the story, I feel like whatever this thing is probably what jumped on your car. I mean, what are the odds that something jumps on your car and then you see this and it's two separate things? Probably not very likely. And now you said that when it was running, it ran like a dog. Can you describe that again for me? Cause I had a hard time picturing what you meant by that, where you said it ran like a dog, but I guess the arms went behind the legs or something. What do you mean by that?
It seemed like, you know, when a dog is running full speed, it's almost like when a dog is walking, you see all the four legs walk separately, I guess. But this was like its back legs would jump and then its front legs would go behind its back legs. That's just how long its front legs were, that when it was kind of like, if it was running at such a high speed that its front legs would just fall behind its back legs every time that it would run, almost like if it was like jumping while it was running. But its arms were extremely long, so they would literally swing behind its back legs. I don't know. It just seemed like if it was to be standing, its arms would probably be like at the length of its knees, probably, like, or longer.
So you didn't see it stand on its hind legs though, right?
No. No, it was running like on four legs.
If you could envision it on its back legs, would you say that it would have a humanoid shape?
I would say it would, because it was like the ribs felt, they looked human like. It looked kind of like a human that hasn't eaten in a long time, because it's belly was just very sucked in, so it was almost like completely bones but with white pale skin on it. I would probably describe it kind of like a skeleton but with skin.
Nope, that sounds just like what I've heard these things being described as. I mean, obviously there's images online, but there's a guy and his wife, JR and Shelly, friends of the show. They came down to my studio one time and she told her story of seeing something similar to this one night when her car broke down. I think she backed it into a graveyard. I think that's what happened. And she was just waiting in like this little gravel driveway in the beginning of the graveyard. And this thing came into the car, not into the car, but came onto the car. And I forget how the whole story ensues, but from there, but I remember her having that experience. And there was a kid in, well, yeah, he's a kid. He was 17 when I talked to him. He's probably about 18 or 19 now. But he is in Oregon, I believe. And him and his friend were riding four-wheelers at a campground or in the mountains or somewhere like that. And one of these things came out onto the road on all four, when they were on their four-wheelers. They had stopped at one point. There's a lot of things in that situation that led up to that experience that seems like it was connected in a way, where there's weird things happening around them. Obviously this is a very strange encounter, but outside of the encounter itself and the jumping on the car, do you recall any weird things happening? Like, I don't know, like cell phones not working or anything like that?
No, nothing. It was completely off guard. And I don't think there was anything that could have even triggered it. Like if we were, like, for example, like playing with the Ouija board or, you know, watching scary movies that could have made us like hallucinate that we saw that. It was completely random. And like I said, never heard of anything like that again. But whenever I do go back to my hometown, like I can't go there at night because of that, because I'm just scared that that thing is still somewhere out there. But I mean, I have looked up like stories about it, but I've never seen any occasion where I guess anyone has ever actually been hurt by something like that. So it kind of makes me wonder, like, isn't it a different dimension? Like, it could see us, but it can't physically do anything to us. I don't know, because you would think something like that would have tried tearing the door open. Or why would it just make itself visible that way? Because if we're facing in that direction, why didn't it just jump in front of the car in that case?
Yeah. Well, maybe they didn't live to tell their story of how it hurt them. So.
Yeah.
I know in Shelly's situation, it was a pretty terrifying experience. And I think at one point she passed out and she doesn't know exactly what happened after that. But I think she said it was trying to get in the car.
That's scary.
Yeah, it was a pretty terrifying experience. I might even play it with this episode when I put this out. So, cause I'm looking at these images online and it's a spitting image, what you're describing as to what, and I see one of these images as my images I made for a video I put up. So, there it is. That's funny. But I've also heard of them coming into people's homes and coming into their rooms. There was also a guy that I had on the show. Him and his wife pulled into their drive. And I think there's more to the story than what I'm about to share. But him and his wife pulled into their driveway one night. And there was one sitting in their yard looking at their house and sitting in the yard like a dog would. So it's interesting you say about the dog run, because the way he described, at least in my mind's eye, it was sitting on its butt and sitting almost like a dog would be sitting in their yard. And so, yeah, there's a stalker element to these kind of things that I don't quite understand or recognize.
Like if it was hunting, kind of.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And so I definitely wouldn't say I would trust them, and I definitely wouldn't be like, oh, that's. Like people say, you know, oh, I just want to cuddle up next to Bigfoot and have him tell me a bedtime story. Not these things. These things, you know, these things are straight up demonic.
Yeah, it felt like that.
They're evil.
It didn't feel like it came from the right place. And I think I didn't even want to tell my parents about it because they're also Hispanic and they would have been like, that's because you talk back to us. That's why that thing came at you guys. Like, and I would have been like, no, I'm not going to hear it, because they're going to say, is this my fault that the devil is punishing me because I'm being bad? But yeah, it didn't feel friendly. I think if anything gave me kind of like, maybe like chupacabra vibes, something like that. Definitely not a friendly dog, but yeah, it was spooky. And I always feel bad because I'm like, there's people out there that are looking for these things, but it's almost like it comes out when you're least expecting it. You're not looking for it when these things come up.
Yeah. I guess my another question I have for you is, looking back at the situation, there was a lot of detail that you saw. Did you ever get a sense that this was something that was not completely physical, in the sense that maybe it was more like at least interdimensional or something? Or do you think it lives and exists here and it just maybe lives in caves or something?
I do feel like it exists like interdimensionally, especially because of, like, for example, like most recently, about 2 years ago, I was working in a preschool setting and I was sitting at a table and I had a wall behind me with those boards where the teachers put up like posters or, you know, things for the children. It's like those big cork boards. And I started hearing a noise and I turned around and the nail started unscrewing from the board by itself. And I freaked out thinking it was like maybe like a termite inside the wall that was pushing it out. And I screamed and the teacher in the same room, she was like, "What?" And I was like, "The screw is coming out by itself." So she came over looking at me all crazy. And when she got to where I was at, the screw started going back into the wall by itself. So it was me and her who saw that at that point. So then we were like, okay, it's probably loose. There's like a termite inside the wall. And when the janitor came back, we asked him like, "Hey, like this thing is loose. You need to fix it." And he came and he tried pulling the board off of the wall and it was stuck hard onto the wall. And then he told us like, "These screws are extremely long because we can't have these falling on children." So that was one thing where I was like, how is it that I saw, you know, what was with me physically move, but I couldn't see what was actually moving it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, since then, I just feel like there are things that just live like within our dimension and we just don't have the ability to see them. And occasionally there's just something that aligns perfectly where we're actually able to see them physically. Because I couldn't imagine where that thing would hide in the orchards. Since people are working those orchards daily. So where does it go?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, I definitely think that these things are probably at the very least interdimensional. But, you know, if they are here and they exist here on this plane of existence for any period of time, I imagine I just look at these things and I'm like, they got to be cave dwellers. You know, like they have to live in the ground. I mean, they're so pale and scrawny.
Yeah.
They don't get a balanced meal, you know?
They're probably pretty hungry. That. And then what would he eat? There's nothing. Yeah. I mean, for him to end up there. And that's why I do think these things it has to be linked something with Yosemite. Yosemite is so huge and it's so limited as a tourist, what you can actually do. Or, you know, if you're in there, you're within the area that they know you're in and people go missing all the time. Or people pass away all the time in these places.
Maybe they eat 11th graders.
I think they do.
I think you said you were a junior, right?
Yeah.
In 2011.
And they did go back, because our school is so close to Yosemite, they have like 2 annual camping trips. You take one in 6th grade and you take another one in 11th grade to watch the 6th graders. So good thing we didn't disappear that time.
Yeah, seriously. Well, listen, I'm glad you hopped on with me to share this encounter. It's not every day I get people talking about their experiences with Rake. And, you know, anybody listening to this right now, I mean, if you have an experience, I will be somebody who will hear your experience because these things are out there. I would love to hear more encounters like these. So feel free to shoot us an email. If you're like, "Oh, nobody would ever believe me," just talk to me. Okay.
Thank you.
These things are definitely out there. So, Carol, I appreciate you coming on and sharing. And you know, do you have any plans to go camping anytime soon?
Honestly, I would. I don't feel like it's something that I can expect to see again, honestly. And I don't feel like if I'm that scared of it. I don't know. I guess because of that experience, I don't know what it can do, but I definitely don't want to let it stop me from doing anything that I would do normally.
That's great. That's a very healthy way to look at it. There's so many people that have experiences out in, you know, out in the forest, whether they had a Bigfoot encounter or, you know, Dogman or even Rake, right? And it just, they were hunting and they don't hunt anymore because of these experiences. So, it's a very healthy way to look at it. And that's the way I feel about the stuff too. I mean, people say, well, what happens if you find one? I'm like, listen, if it was that easy to go out looking for this stuff and finding it, everybody do it. I think the odds are very much against me to have an encounter with this stuff. So it's not going to stop me from going out of the woods, enjoying hiking around and stuff. And, you know, if I find one of these creatures,
yeah,
hopefully my camera's working.
Yeah, I definitely feel blessed that it happened because of, like you said, what are the chances of seeing that? And I guess that just, to me, it makes me feel like I must be open enough to be able to experience something like that. But definitely when I hear, for example, like Native Americans saying, oh, when we go to, I think they mentioned like going to Yellowstone or Red Rocks, that they put ashes on their face to protect them from like the little people so they don't mess with them. And in my head, I'm like, okay, noted. I'll put ashes on my face because I know what they're saying is most likely true and I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to, you know, try to follow the rules and be safe, but also there's no point in being scared or, you know, I'd say, you know, when it's your time for something to happen to you, it's going to happen regardless. You can't just run away from it.
All right. That was Carol. All right. There we go. I don't know what's going on with the sound today. I don't know what's going on with all this stuff today. I was hearing echoes and all that. And now in order for me to hear myself sanely, I had to mute myself, so I can't really live produce the sound now. It's driving me nuts, friends. It's driving me nuts. But I hope you guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that little testimony of a crawler. And we got a comment here. Hey, Tony, I know you've seen the movie The Watchers. Do you think those creatures remind you of these crawlers? I had never heard of crawlers having wings. If the creatures that you're talking about from The Watchers, I'm pretty sure that those had wings. Which the winged humanoid creature is something that's been popping up on my radar a lot recently, more than normal. And, turns out there's an ancient, I think it was South America. It was an ancient god that was worshipped, that came out from the underground and would like kill people or something like that. And it was described as being like a humanoid with these giant wings. A common thing that I'm starting to hear a lot with these humanoids with wings is the wings are often described as having bat wings. So there's threads to pull at there. How many wings? I would say from everything that I've heard, it was two wings. Here's the weird thing with that. So the first thing that comes to mind is the episode I did a while ago. I forget. It was actually like a few months ago. I had this guy Devin on and he was talking about coming across this like winged demon thing out in the woods when he was running away from, he was in state custody. He was in state care as a kid and he was running away from that. He said across the field, he saw a man dressed in a top hat of some kind and a trench coat. And the guy kneeled down and these big, long, like bat wings came out. And this guy, this thing flew over him. And I said to him, I was like, do you think that the coat that you thought you saw was the wings wrapped around? And he said, no, because when it flew over him, he could still see the coat. And I've been hearing people talk about like this trench coat wearing entity that has these wings. I'm like, well, that's new. That's new. So yeah, I'm going to be pulling out that thread for sure. See what happens with that. I don't have any plans on going to hunt the winged demon anytime soon, at all, but it's something that has popped up. And let me think, I think, next, do I have my calendar up somewhere here? I might be able to tell you real quick here. If I can grab the right calendar, I got as many calendars as I have emails, you know, it's just never ending. All right. So yeah, next Tuesday show, we have Brandon coming on from, Tinfoil Tales podcast. He actually came down to the studio, talked about his dog man encounter. And, we also talked about flying humanoids up there and a lot of similarities. And then, I know it came up recently again after him. I'm trying to look at my schedule here. Maybe it was Adam. I don't remember, but it's been popping up fairly often. And so, you know, I remember one of them, but I can't. Yeah. All right. So yeah, winged humanoids. What do you say about that, friends? You know, it's not bad enough that we have Bigfoot running around and dog man, but now we got the winged humanoids flying over our heads. You know, does Hat Man have wings? I've never heard anybody talk about Hat Man experiences with it having wings, but I have been hearing humanoid winged beings wearing coats and sometimes hats. Strange. All right, friends. Well, that's this week's episode. Next week, we are not going to be here for a live because I will be hunting weird phenomena in an undisclosed location. So sorry, but not that sorry. All right, guys, let's get out of here.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly. Let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning. Let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday. Wake up. Everything's alright. Wake up. It's Wednesday. Feel the morning light. World's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong, and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kids and family. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.